Good morning, Thrive Tribe. We are so excited to have you join our podcast this morning. Man, you just being here means so much to us. As a matter of fact, we'd also count it just a great privilege if you'd take time to review and rate our podcast. It'll just help us reach more people for Christ, and that is our goal. We also want to give you an opportunity to give. If you'd like to do that and support the ministry, you can go to thrivechurchonline.com. Just go to the Giving tab. But without further ado, let's jump right into the message.
Hey, so we're going to look today at Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. So if you want to turn there in your YouVersion, on your app, whatever you look at on your hard copy Bible, look at. So start turning there. It's going to be on your screen and all that kind of stuff. But just want to give you some ideas of what's going on here. So in the South, I mean, I've been in the South all my life. So raised in North Carolina. I live in South Carolina. Lived for a while in Virginia and Kentucky. So it's just, you know, it's... I've got that lingo down. I don't know. Hey, shout out to New Jersey. Man, we're glad you're online. You can even throw in some online stuff going, hey, this is what we do. But here, I know in the South, when you go up and you talk to somebody, it's a, hey, how you doing? We may care, we may not. But we just say, how you doing? And you get, I'm fine, back, or whatever. But every once in a while, you get, I'm blessed. I'm like, oh, okay, now I know who I'm dealing with. Now every once in a while, you get somebody who say, hey, how you doing? And they go, man, I'm blessed and highly favored. And you're going, ha ha, I know who you are. So we do that here in the South every once in a while. So listen, in this particular passage, in Matthew 5, they use this term, and if you've been in church for a long time, it's blessed are. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. I just want to tell you, I may go back there, but it gets academic in my head when I say blessed are. I start thinking academic. I'm going to say blessed. Now, if you're an English teacher, I'm going to throw you this morning. I apologize. I'll go ahead and tell you right now. It's just, I'm going to say blessed. Now, I might accidentally go back to blessed are because that's how I grew up learning it. But I want you to hear this morning that God desires to bless you. That's what we need to come away with this morning. And what's interesting is when we come to Christ, obviously, the heaven celebrates, that is the biggest deal. And then we grow in Christ. And sometimes it gets hard. But God says, blessed are you. And this is a passage about discipleship. We come to Christ, and then you're going to see and watch as step by step, we kind of come through this thing. And it's not necessarily systematic. You're going to hit some of these points. And they're tough. Man, when you start confronting stuff inside, it's tough. But God says, I want you to know that you're blessed, and here's your reward. And that's what we're going to see this morning. You with me? All right. I want to hear you say blessed. Ready? One, two, three. Blessed. Yeah, now, that was good. Online, I hope you heard that. They are awake this morning. So you can yell wherever you are. They're blessed. Now, the idea of blessed comes from Latin, I don't know Latin, but this is what I read, but just Latin for happy, like, you know, truly blessed, like understanding the joy of the Lord, regardless of your circumstances. That's what it's about. So I don't know if you have a swimming pool or not. I don't, but for those that do, if you ever measured the pH of anything, you take a scoop of water out of the pool, and then you take either litmus paper or some drops, and it just indicates what's in the water. This is all this passage does. The water can't do anything and go, oh, I'm a little low on pH. Let me just change. It can't do that. The water doesn't just change itself. Something has to be added. Now, this particular passage, the Beatitudes, someone could say, oh, man, I need to be poor in spirit. I need to mourn. I need to be a peacemaker. Oh, man, I'm going to wear myself out. That's not the point. The point is, you're like, this is a litmus test of how we are as believers. And all we need to add is more Jesus. All we need to add is more Jesus. So when you hit something like this, it's not, oh, I need to be more like, no, I mean, that's the enemy just trying to crush you. Just, hey, okay, cool. Lord, this is where I need to be. I need to add more of you. And then watch. Yeah. Watch as you get right where you need to be. So hang with that as you're watching this. Now, it's very possible that this is a Cliff Note version of the sermon. Now, if you want to just dig for a little bit. So like Jesus was on the mountain, and everything that he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you go back and look at the Old Testament, what does it mean, poor in spirit? What does it mean, kingdom of heaven? What does it mean, those who mourn? What all those passages, if you look at the Old Testament, you're going, whoa, that makes total sense. And the Jewish audience of that day was looking at it, and they would understand, and all of a sudden, they'd flash back to all the stuff they learned as kids. In America, 21st century, I'm like, I got to study a little bit, see what was back over there. But if you want a little bit of, hey, to do when you get back home and check it out, go cross-reference stuff in the New Testament with what Jesus was talking about in the Old Testament. And even if it was just straightforward, Jesus said this right down the line, which he obviously did, but just watch as more stuff in those minds of the original audience was just clicking, going, but that's this passage, and that's Psalm 37, and that's Psalm 46, and that's whatever, and it's just, you could see it start coming. That's good. And when we start seeing that, that's good stuff. So look at that. So let's jump in. Verse 3. Let's back up a little bit. We did verses 1 and 2 with the leadership team. Let's do this. So what happened was Jesus was hanging out with people all the time, doing stuff, miracles, all kinds of things. And as you look at Matthew chapter 1 through 6, you just start looking as it, 1 through 5, start looking through this, getting into verse 5, chapter 5. Jesus was hanging out with crowds, with people, doing miracles, healing people, feeding tons of people, teaching people. And he drew a lot of folks. And the Pharisees didn't like that. And they had all these rules that they were expected to follow. Jesus, you're not teaching about rules. And Jesus is like, dude, it's not about rules. It's about your heart. This is what we're worried about. So let me get up on the mountain. I'm going to tell you. And what happened was Jesus, he saw the crowds. And a lot of times people see the crowds and they go, oh, crowds. And they're here for me, not Jesus. He saw the crowds. And what did he do? He went up on the mountainside. And he, what's your word? What's it say? He sat down. Now, back in that day, when somebody was going to teach, an authority, a respected person was going to teach, they would sit. And the people that wanted to hear something would come to them because they knew, oh, they've got something to share. That person's got something I need. And they just sat down. They're going to share something. I'm going to pull up a chair. Way back when I was growing up, if you're my age or older, I'm going to date me real quick. E.F. Hutton, when he speaks, people listen. Commercial, yeah, people in the back are laughing. So this is dating me. I get it. But, you know, hey, well, I'm just relating with people that are my age. All right, so if he pulls up a chair, like, I'm going to sit down. People are like, I want to hear. And that's exactly what's happening here. So he pulls up a chair, and there's a difference. The crowds are just hanging out way back over here going, I'm waiting to see something cool that Jesus is doing. And Jesus is like, I'm going to sit down. And people that wanted to hear something are coming. You're here this morning because you want to hear something that Jesus has for you. And the praise music, and the prayer, and the word, and somebody in the parking lot ministry, behind the table, in the children's ministry, wherever it may be, you're here this morning, and God has something for you. Verse 3. Jesus sits down and he teaches people. He says, he sat down, the word says, and he taught them. And he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. There's that word. Ready to say it one more time. Just blessed. Yes. Yeah, there you go. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's not a simple thing. That's like, man, this is the kingdom of heaven. You are with Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But for me, there are several phrases here that just rub me wrong. This is one of them. I don't like to be poor in anything. I mean, I don't think any of us do. I mean, it strikes about my, maybe it's my pride. Maybe it's my American spirit. I don't know what it is. I want to have what I need. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. So what I do outside of here, I have some, anyway, I'll tell you about that later if you're interested. But one of my customers is a bankruptcy courthouse. Interesting. So I go in the courthouse and people that are coming in there are financially bankrupt. They've hit a wall. They've gotten to a point where their debt exceeds what they can pay, and people are calling in their debt, and they're like, I can't do that. I'm about to lose everything I have. I need an intercessor. I need somebody that can pause the process till I can get my stuff together and then enter back in. You drawing the correlation here? Poor in spirit. So as we think about this process, as we, us, being poor in spirit, I want you to think about this. The Bible says a lot of stuff that we are to do. So, for example, the Bible says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but build others up. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with it. Wives, respect your husbands. The Bible says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Anger does not bring about the righteous life that God requires. Scripture says, don't exasperate your children, but raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Scripture says, give and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. And I read all that stuff, and I'm like, oh, you don't you see the ways you fail? I may be reading those out and you're thinking, oh man, I'm failing at that. I'm failing at this one. This is the one I struggle with. Okay, I might be doing that one all right. And I go, oh, and I'm just weighted down. But here's the deal. God doesn't say, man, come on, get your act together, Nichols. What's your problem? He says, you can't, but I can. That's poor in spirit. Going, God, I cannot be who all you've called me to be on my own. I watch my words, you know, you understand that? Sometimes I get angry, I got to watch that. I'm not the husband I need to be all the time. I'm not the dad I need to be all the time. I mean, and my money, my finances, God, I just feel like I fall short all the time. Poor in spirit. But God doesn't leave you there. He said, blessed if you are there. Why? Because yours is the kingdom of heaven, because you realize there's something greater than you that you need, and that's Jesus. And he said, when you get that, that is an awesome thing. Amen? That's where we're at. Now, quick example. And we're going to dwell on this one a little longer and move through the other ones a little quicker, so don't panic. But have you ever just forgotten something? And then you drive off, or you go somewhere and maybe you say something you shouldn't say, or you get mad, and go, oh, I just wasted 10 minutes, got to go back and get it, or whatever else. So this happened to me the other day. This happens a lot with me if I'm not careful. And so what was interesting, the other day I was driving off, going to work, and I pulled out, and I went, and I was late, or I just, you know, a time crunch kind of deal, and I'm like, I don't have time for this. So I got frustrated and started thinking, saying things I'm not going to repeat or say here or whatever. And then I'm like, God, I'm sorry. And then just get a little frustrated. And then what hit me, God, is like all of a sudden, it's one of those, not a long conversation, just a boom. And I went, oh, thank you. It was Dan, who was reminding you that you've forgotten that stuff? That was important, the stuff that you needed for work. Who's reminding you? And you're getting frustrated about that. Okay. Forgive me, Lord. So now when I forget something, I go, thanks, God. Got it. Thank you. Would have loved to remember that about 10 minutes before that, but you got me from going an hour down the road. That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much. And so it's not a anger. It's a thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right. Good. I can't. I'm going to fall short over and over again, but God can. Poor in spirit. Reminds me, kingdom of heaven. And here's the thing I want to tell you is that as you walk through each of these, it's going to bring you right back to poor in spirit. Because we recognize our desperate need for the Lord. Fair enough? All right, get a drink of water. Number four, verse four. Not number four, what? Verse four. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Did I say blessed? Not blessed. Blessed, right? Blessed. All right, still on it. Good. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, there's a difference between knowing your sin and doing something about it. Now, there's no true salvation without true repentance. And there's a lot of people that know they're a jerk or know they're arrogant or know they're selfish or know they're addicted to something or know they're vain or whatever else. And they don't care. You seen them? Yeah, all I got to do is look in a mirror and go, yeah, I was that one time. Yeah, I was there. I was there. But when God convicts you of the sin, oh, man, you ever been there? You're just like, I mean, it can make you weep. You're just like, oh, God, I can't believe I've had that effect on people. I can't believe that I did that. I can't believe that I hurt such and such. I can't believe that I walked through there. But God doesn't leave you there. He says, right, right. But I love you, and you are forgiven, and you are comforted, because I am in you, and I'm with you. And he said, when he would send the Holy Spirit to us, he calls it the Comforter. He knows we're going to walk into a wall every now and then, but he's in us. He's like, I got you. It's okay. I love you. Blessed are those who mourn. When you see your sin, convicted by it, repent of it. True repentance. God says, I'm a comfort. And you know it. If you walk through it, you're like, oh, Jesus, thank you for your grace. Been there? Okay. Then he says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This is another one that rubs me wrong. What does meek rhyme with? Weak. I know all the guys are like, Rhymes are weak. I'm not going to be weak. So I get to meek and I'm like, I know. I'm blessed with the meek. That's good. I'll skip that one. Let's go to the next one. What's the meek? I don't get it. So I started studying this word because I don't like the idea of meek just because it rhymes with weak. And I'm going, yeah, so what does that mean? Because I want to know, because if it's in the word and I'm supposed to be that, then what, you know, blessed or if I'm blessed because of that, I want to make sure that I'm that. Fair enough? You ever studied it? So the best illustration that I have for that I found is the war horse. So have you ever watched, like in the battle before they came out with armored vehicles and tanks and all that kind of stuff, the cavalry would ride the war horse through. Now, I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan, love the movies, you know. There you go, got a shout out. I hear some people around here going, yeah, yeah, all right. So at the last movie, at the last battle, the riders came up to the top of the mountain, top of the hill, and all the enemy is filling the valley below. These thousands of horsemen get to the top. And the warriors are like clanking their swords together. Yeah, they're yelling, they're screaming, they're getting ready to go. And the horses are just like, they're just standing there. I mean, me, I'd be like, ah, you know, I'm just going on my own, just running down the hill. Yeah, let's go. The war horses are not. They're like, they're ready and they are massive. And their design is to run over the enemy, to trample them. That's the design of the war horses, obviously to carry the rider in, but they just trample the enemy. And so here they are, the war horses are ready to go, but they are not moving until the master says go. Once the master says go, man, they're on it. Powerful, just charging through, awesome, destructive force against the enemy. Yeah. That is you. That is me. I'm not just trying to insult you by calling you a horse. I'm saying blessed are the meek. I'm saying God is in you, powerful. And when we submit to the master, ready to go, not at Dan's will. I can charge off in some kind of weird battle, but at God's will. And say, God says, Dan, go. Oh, now that's a whole different deal. Psalm 37, write that down, look at it later. This passage comes from that. Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. The exact phrase, verses 1 through 11, is right there. Look at it later, write it down. the idea, yes, heaven, new heaven, new earth, all of that. But think about this. Often, how many people go, man, our country's just a mess. We got friends that are from South Africa, and there's a mess going on down there. It's like, that country's a mess. We have friends in Cuba. Went down on a mission trip a couple years ago. Our church has a partnership with them. And it's just like, man, Cuba's just a mess. Is it? Let me ask this. If we're submissive to the master and God's like, oh, wait a minute. Don't be claiming our country is a mess. You be a warhorse on mission for the king here and watch as we start changing the world for Jesus. That's a different perspective on the world. Lord, please forgive me for the wrong attitude I've had. I'm just like, oh, the world's just caving in. The world's going wherever, you know. No, God, let's go. I'm the warhorse. I'm gonna train up. I'm gonna spend time with you. I'm gonna spend time in your word. I'm gonna spend time in prayer. I'm gonna worship, praise team. Awesome job this morning, man. Ready to roll. Let's go, God. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's go. All right, good. Accomplishing God's purposes on the planet. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they will be?
Satisfied.
Oh, man. Isn't that good? That's a good word. Mm-hmm. Satisfied. I like the word, satisfied. So things I enjoy. Ready? Made a list. These are just a short list. So dates with my wife, vacations with my family, especially like camping, outdoor stuff. Having life organized, kind of that to-do list thing. I am not an organized guy. I mean, I'm like, I'll tell you that stories later. But just the idea of just, okay, I've checked a box. I'm good. It's done. Feels good, right? Good food. I'm a foodie. I like to eat healthy. Just, you know, like good food. Exercise, working out, sports, activities, that kind of things. Outdoors, shooting sports, fishing, mountains, those kind of deals like that. Sometimes just a good game, you know, TV. Sometimes just a good movie with the family after a long week. You know, those kind of deals. Music. Man, like good music. Just sometimes just quiet. Man, just walk outside, go to the state park, chill out, whatever. Now, people can long for a lot of stuff. People can long for money, sex, power, influence, whatever. Approval, things that seem like they're going to satisfy. But they don't. And Jesus says something different. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because only in that, in following God's way of doing things, are we truly filled. So watch the progression. You ready? So verse 3. Poor in spirit, repenting before the Lord. Ready? Mourn, convicted of my sin. Meek, God, not my will but yours. I am charged up, ready to roll. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do you see the order we walk in? And it's not like we've got to walk in that order, but as you walk closer to the Lord, these things start to happen, and they build on each other, and it's a good thing. And he says, then you'll be satisfied. So when people come to the end of themselves, they're broken of their sin, they're comforted by God, they're charged up on mission for the Lord, and then it's like, God, what's your purpose, not mine? What is your purpose? I want to be hungering and thirsting for the right way of living, for your way, God, for righteousness and what that is. Then they'll be satisfied. Fair enough? That's the satisfaction we're looking for all along in all kind of stuff. We look for it, but we find it truly when we're looking after God's stuff. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, they will receive mercy. So one of the hardest things for me to do, especially when life gets full and I get stressed, is like to be kind to somebody who's a jerk to me. Am I the only one? Okay, got some little amen going on out there. All right, so, and I just being honest, and if I'm stressed or tired or hungry or just had enough of people for a little while, you know, it's just like, well, okay, I don't need that right now. And it's just like a flashback, and I'm going, oh, okay, I didn't mean to come out like that, but I do. Want some examples? Just ask Stephen. Be real gentle when you tell him some of this stuff, you know. But just, it's my son's up here in front. But here's the thing, what's really cool, it's like my wife's a great example. So sometimes I'll just say something I shouldn't say, you know, just respond sharply to her, to the children, or whatever. And then she lovingly says, a little later, she goes, hey, you okay? I'm like, oh, that's mercy. Or she doesn't say anything, and then she says a little later on, it's like, hey, and I've come up and ask forgiveness, going, listen, I'm sorry, that wasn't you, that was all me. And she just goes, hey, I get it, you're forgiven, you've had a long day, you got a lot going on or whatever. And I'm going, man, that's merciful. But then what does that give me a desire to do? Yeah, to be merciful back. I go, I've just been shown the mercy of the Lord in my life. Thank you, God, for that example. Repentance, mourn, poor in spirit, comforted. And then I'm like, Lord, thank you. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. They'll be shown mercy. They'll receive mercy. They'll give back mercy. At every stage through the process, takes us right back. It's good. Verse 8, still with me? All right. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see. Whoa. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Matthew 12:34 says something interesting. He says, Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Man, does that mess me up occasionally. You guys? Oh, what comes out of my mouth? I'm like, oh, what does that mean is inside of here? Oh, no, okay, God, keep working, because I just have a lot to work on. But it's verse 35. It says the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil, but the good person out of the good treasure brings forth good. So we all treasure stuff. It's what we long for. It's my treasure, what I want to get, what I want to get, have satisfy me. We all long for some kind of a treasure. And Jesus says, the pure in heart are treasuring him, Christ. Let me give you an illustration. So something we store up, something we focus on, something we spend time with, on, longing for, whatever. So this past weekend, my wife and I celebrated 25 years a little early. And awesome. She has put up with me for a long time. So a friend of mine has a convertible Mustang, black, new Mustang. And I was like, hey, listen, we're going to the Blue Ridge Parkway, going to hang out in the mountains. Can I borrow your Mustang? And they said, yeah, borrow the Mustang. Y'all, I've never driven a Mustang. I've never driven a convertible. Had a Mustang when I was growing up. Never driven a convertible. And that's a game changer when you get to the mountains. So here I am. I'm cruising in the mountains. And you don't have to, like, drive up to the parkway and get out the door and go, oh, look at the beauty of the mountains, and get back in your car and drive to the next little overlook and go, oh, and then get back in your car. You just are in it. You're going, oh, the whole time you're driving the car down the road. It's just awesome. I mean, this is fantastic. And so I'm just chilling. I'm just so thankful. I'm smiling the whole time. Like, this is awesome. And then, no, I didn't wreck the car. You're good. So and then I started to get a little prideful, like, dude, I'm in a Mustang. Because every place we'd pull up in an overlook, people were like, that's a nice car. And so, you know, I'm trying to be humble. I'm like, yeah, this is my friend's car, and they let me borrow it, you know. But after a while, I pulled up this one overlook, and there's like an old truck, which I have. There's an old truck, and there's an old car, which we have. Or, you know, but whatever. So I drive up, and there's old vehicles on there, and I'm like, I had this moment where it hit me like, I'm in a Mustang. I'm in a convertible. And I didn't look around. I didn't look around. I got out of the car. I just kind of walked over to the overlook. Just kind of looked at the overlook. I didn't look around at anybody else who was, you know, looking at me and my Mustang. You know, you're hearing this, right? So, and then what's really funny is I didn't hear the car pull up beside me. Here I am in a Mustang. And I turn around. Anybody ever heard of a Lotus?
Yeah.
Pulled it right beside me. I didn't even, I'll be honest, I've heard the name Lotus, but I looked at it and went, what is that? So I start Googling Lotus. I'm like, oh my goodness. All of a sudden, I went feeling like, dude, I got a Mustang. Going, oh, I got a little car. I'm going to drive off now. You know, I start driving down the Blue Ridge Parkway, just kind of cruising. This Lotus just walked me down. You know, just like, I'm cruising. I'm going, I'm not going to speed down. It's friend's car, all that kind of stuff. And I just kind of pulled over and pulled off, and he waved. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, gotcha. And I'm like, Lord, thank you for showing me the junk in my heart. I must be longing after something because it's, anyway. You know what? So, blessed are the pure in heart. That was not pure in heart, but fun story. You've got yours.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, people treasure stuff. If your treasure's money, think about it. You've been there. I've been there. Your lens that you look through life is, how much does it cost? How much can I make? How much extra can I get out of that sale? Can I afford children? Can I afford to get married? How much am I supposed to give? I mean, just money, money. Everything's about money. If your treasure is influence, you know, you're going to be worried about, well, what do they think of me? What am I wearing? What am I driving? What groups of people do I surround myself with? All that stuff. Do I sound good today? Do I look good today? All those kind of things. It's about image. That's your treasure. That's the lens you see things through. But watch this. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they see God. Listen, if our lens is Jesus, you feel me, I want to see the way you see. All of a sudden, you start seeing life not through the lens of money or influence or image or anything else. You start seeing God's purpose on this planet. Man, you're going to walk a different way around the world that way. Your day's going to be different at work because you're going, I'm looking, God, thank you. I'm going to pray for that person. God, this person right here just said something about what was going on at home, and I would have missed it if I wasn't focused on your, and I'm going to talk to him later. Go, hey, listen, tell me about what's, I mean, just I'm praying for you. Whatever. You know, just you start getting on God's mission. You start seeing God at work. You're encouraging your faith. Man, that's a whole different game changer when you're walking every day. It's not, I got to get up. I got to go to work. I got to make money. I got to come home. I got to cook supper. I got to do whatever. All of a sudden, your day is, I got to see Jesus. 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 That's a whole different game changer. You with me? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they see God. How do you get to be pure in heart? Spend time with Jesus. That's it. This is not a to-do list. Jesus, great. All right. Word of God. Time in prayer. Worship of the Lord. Fellowship with the saints like this. Just hanging out with Jesus, pure in heart. Conviction of sin, confession, over and over, cleansing what's here. God, I want to see the things the way you see them. No peace at all like seeing people through the lens of Christ. It is awesome. Awesome. Almost finished. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. So, in the book of James, into chapter 3, beginning of chapter 4, they say something interesting. James says something interesting. He says, what causes quarrels and fights among you? It's you want what you want, and you don't get it, so you fight for it. And just battling back and forth. And then you get into chapter 4, and he hit 3 and 4, the end of those two. And he says, a harvest of righteousness is sown, and you, what you get back is peace. So those who are really longing for peace, and they're sowing that, they get that back. So, interesting. We fight and we quarrel because we don't get what we want. I want what I want, you want what you want, and they often don't get along together. However, Jesus, that's not how he did things. Philippians chapter 2, write that down, look it up later. Jesus, although he was God, is God, he didn't keep that. He didn't fight against that. He said, yes, I'm going to surrender, come to earth, Lord, be tortured, abused, persecuted, crucified for you. The Father, the Son, he said, God, not my will. Father, not my will, but your will. I'd rather not go on the cross, Jesus said, but it's not me, not what I want. It's what you want. Jesus showed that when our hearts are transformed, we start thinking like Christ. Then the world, we start thinking about the world around us that way. We begin to respond like Jesus, and we demonstrate that we are children of God, God's children. Acting, walking, looking, responding like Christ. All right, so then the last one, and we'll stop after this one. He says, verses 10 through 12, he said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Let me pause just a minute. Not blessed are those who are persecuted because they're just being a real pain. Sometimes we deserve to be persecuted. It doesn't say anything about that. It says, blessed are you when you're persecuted because you are living for Christ. Because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It takes you right back, right? Did you hear that at the very beginning? Is that familiar? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's something different happening here. Verses 11 and 12, he said, blessed are you when you're reviled and persecuted and people utter evil against you falsely because of Christ. And he says, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. Because they persecuted all those prophets beforehand, before you. So this is where the rubber meets the road. Here's what I see happening here. So what I see is, check this out, at the very beginning, blessed are the poor in spirit. You come to Christ, it's a mental, emotional, spiritual wrestling match. Mourn, peacemakers, all that we just went through. Really just working on your heart. Because that's tough. You know what I'm talking about? You come to Jesus, you got to change often friend groups. You leave people behind. You leave a lifestyle behind. You leave all kinds of things behind. But now he's going, hey, listen, by the way, your life might be left on the line. Your health, your job, your friend groups, your influences, the places where you go, they may reject, rebuke, persecute you. You go to the Middle East right now, take a plane, hop over there. The same stuff happened to Jesus and the first century Christians will happen to you today, or can happen to you today. There are people being crucified, people being burned alive. You just name your torture and death method, and they're doing that to Christians right now. Get online and read about it. It's happening. So it's not like, I mean, we're a little sheltered from that here in America, but it happens. And Jesus, I believe, is saying, hey, listen, I want you to know, I want to bring you right back. Yes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Totally get that. I also want you to know, blessed are you when you are persecuted because of righteousness' sake. When people say all kinds of stuff against you, because they, even if they torture you, yours is still the kingdom of heaven. You're not losing anything. Walk through the battle. Even if it costs you your life, you live with me. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. And you're in good company, because those saints of old that we read about every Sunday, they did the same stuff to them. So roll on, walk forward. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Thank you so much. You are full of grace and mercy. God, thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you desire to bless us. Lord, I praise you for your patience as we walk through this process. But more than that, that you are with us every single step of the way. God, that you are in us, that you fill us with your love. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see people the way you see them. love people the way you love them. God, I pray that you would help us to see ourselves the way you see us, to love ourselves the way you love us. God, you are awesome. As we walk this journey with you, thank you for your encouragement and your grace. In the name of Jesus, amen.
One thing that's a true factor, just listen to that message. Pastor Dan just brought up that this is a hard journey. It's difficult. We can't do this walk, no matter how good we are. We can't do it by ourselves. We need the Lord. No matter how good we are, you hear that again? We need the Lord. Some of you may be going through that today. You say, hey, I've heard this message and it's appealing to me, but how do I become a believer? How do I know Jesus personally? Well, today is this awesome day for you. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, if that's you today, I want to know more about Jesus. And I just want a relationship with him. Would you just slip up your hand so we can pray with you? Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Yes. Everybody, let's pray together. Let's say this together. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And I need you. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for raising up from the dead and giving me eternal life. I accept this free gift, and I can't wait to walk this awesome life with you. In Jesus' name, amen. We truly believe when you pray like that, and it comes from the heart. It's nothing fancy, not pretty, but it's just something just plain and simple. And Jesus hears that. He hears that. That is amazing. If you're saying, yeah, well, you know, JC, I love the Lord and I have a relationship with him, but I'm struggling in this area of my life, like Pastor Dan was talking about, I want to pray over you. Because every last one of us, we all got issues we struggle with. So that's the truth. So let's just pray together. Here we go. Father, for every person that is here, whether it's online or here in the house, within the sound of my voice, Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, that we belong to you, that we are yours. We are your sons and we are your daughters. We belong to you. Father, we also realize that we have some issues that, Lord, only because of you, that you can cleanse us from our sins. And it's a day-by-day walk. So, Father, I pray over the congregation and the online Thrive Tribe that, Lord, whatever we have struggles with, God, I pray, Lord God, that you would just touch us, cleanse us from our sins, Lord God, as we have a repentant heart, Lord God. Lord, forgive us of our trespasses, Lord, what we've done. But, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you forgive us freely with no conditions at all. And Father, I thank you because of that love, that unconditional love that you've given us. Lord God, let that drive us to want to walk closer with you. Because Lord, you have great and awesome things in store for us. And you want us to walk in community and intimacy with you. And we're so excited for what you're doing in us and through us, Lord God. Father, I thank you for putting people into our lives that we can talk to, that they can minister to us and encourage us. Lord, let us be the body. Let us be the church that you have ordained to encourage one another, to lift each other in prayer. And we celebrate for the victory that has already taken place. We celebrate that and we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Yes, love that amen. Woo, it was awesome. Thrive Tribe, thank you so much for joining us online. For the people that is in-house, we're so glad that you were able to join. Was Pastor Dan good, y'all? Yeah. I'm telling you, every single time I hear this man of God just speak, it's just such simplicity, but there is such life with that. There is light. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Amen. And that's what the gospel is. It's so simple that even a mere child can understand. And guess what? We act like children sometimes, no matter how old we get. Just saying. But it's a grateful thing that even though when we mess up, the love of God never stops pursuing us. I'm so thankful for that. So, guys, we love you guys so much. If you're new in house, if you meet us about a black tent, we'd love to just love you, give you a love gift, and just talk with Pastor Dunn, and just love to get to know you better. We just love you guys so much. Guys, have a great and awesome day. We look forward to seeing you guys next week. Be blessed, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us, man. We just appreciate your presence and you taking time to listen to this podcast today. Man, we just pray that it ministers to you. If we can serve you or if you'd like to reach out to us, feel free to do so. You can email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. Again, amen@thrivechurchonline.com. We just want to thank you again for being a part of our church and allowing us to speak into your life. We pray that the Lord blesses you, and we can't wait to see you again next time.